Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Molly Bay.
Today is February 23rd, 2019, and it's going to be a fun day because we get to attack the Tampa Bay media.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Which is sad. You know, but I wonder if they're a little desperate for off-season content as much as we are.
You know, I see this as something they do all the dang time. So true. I'm not going to blame it on the off-season.
And we've kind of been preaching about it all season.
Yeah. We preach about everything, don't we?
We are preachy.
We are some soapbox podcasters.
Isn't that the point, though? Isn't that all podcasters?
You know, good. Yeah, have you seen that there's like a huge thing with podcasting where it's these murder mystery podcasts.
Yeah, they're really big.
Really big.
All of my friends that listen to podcasts is what they listen to.
Really? I've never understood like detective shows, you know, like CSI and Law and Order and all these. Why do people have a fascination with that stuff? What is it?
I used to like Forensic Files.
Yeah, you're weird.
They were all the same. It was the same format every time.
You used to like Scooby-Doo, too.
I did.
Yeah, same format. What was the other cartoon?
Those mystery shows.
Was Scooby-Doo really a mystery show?
I don't know. It was about the same as Forensic Files. There's always the guy in the mask.
It's like Murder, She Wrote. Same thing. Every week, she was out on vacation or doing whatever, and she'd stumble on a body. Somebody would in her vicinity stumble on a body. The cops would come in, the local police, they'd bungle it all up, and she'd have to solve the crime. Happened every week.
I would stay away from that woman.
I know, right? That's what I always thought, too.
People get murdered near her. I will say that show was a little before my time.
It was a little before my time, too. So, you know, whatever. I never watched it. I just saw a YouTube video about it the other day. What cartoon were we talking about where they did that? It was just the same stuff over and over and over. And I said I couldn't stand it. I was like, oh, Popeye. Every week, same thing. Well, eat some spinach, get big,
punch
solve the day.
The face.
Yeah, usually Brutus. Bluto, I can't remember
Bruno?
His name. Bruno, Brutus.
I don't know. That was before my time.
We got on this topic by the Wimpy, the hamburger man. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Yeah. All right. What's going on? What is it we can complain about with the media?
Okay. Well, I've got a few things. About a month ago, Jenna Lane. No. I'm sorry. Not Jenna Lane. So a month ago, Jameis came out and said, quote, I really just have to get back to playing Jameis Winston football. It raised
your antenna, your hackles,
I don't know.
Blood pressure?
Yeah, all of the above.
Cucumbers?
I had heard that phrase, getting back to Jameis Winston football. And I knew Jenna Lane, in a press conference earlier in the season, had asked Jameis, did you really have to get back to Jameis Winston football? And it was kind of, he was like, yeah, you know, and he answered the way that they do, very formulated. And the next day, she asked Cutter the same thing. And Cutter kind of snapped at her and said, I thought, Jenna, that you kind of led him into that question.
Yeah, she did.
She did. And we'll play the clip for you. And so here it is 3 months later. That was the end of November. She asked Jameis on November 25th in her press conference. And then Cutter the next day on the 26th. And then this article comes out January 14th, 2019, and he's saying, I have to get back to playing Jameis Winston football.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the clips, so you can hear it for yourself.
Did this feel like, in all your games this season, did this feel like the most Jameis? I know DeMar was saying he felt like you were more back to your being your old self. Did it feel that way for you out there?
Yeah, it did. And of course, everything feels good when you win, you know. But my main thing, like I said, man, to God be the glory. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to be out there with my teammates again.
You talked earlier this week about Fitzmagic and how even you bought into that. At any point this season, have you kind of had to stop yourself and say, no, I'm not chasing that. I've got to be myself. I've got to be Jameis.
Yeah, that's what I shoot out to do every week.
He acknowledged yesterday that he had to kind of get away from chasing the Fitzmagic that, you know, got the year off to such an exciting start.
I thought you led him to that when I watched it.
Okay, did you?
Serious.
Okay.
I thought you led him to that.
I led him to that? Okay, well, that's your opinion on that.
Yeah.
I also gave.
Well, you're asking me my opinion.
Well, right, and I wasn't actually finished asking you the question.
I know, I just interrupted you. I just jumped in there. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. But has that been a point of emphasis at all for you As far as
no,
telling him he needs to be Jameis.
No.
So you don't think there's any coincidence to him saying that he needed to simplify things, that he needed to be himself and all that? You don't think that there's any correlation there with, you know, him
asked
making better
and answered
decisions, checking down yesterday?
He did. I already said that. He did. He did a really good job making decisions yesterday. I already said that.
Yeah, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people realize about the media, and especially with sports figures. I mean, these guys, they're not the best football players in the world. Everybody says that, but they're not. These are the guys that have made it through the gauntlet. You know, these are the guys that have not had a career-ending injury. These are the guys that have not screwed up and gotten thrown in jail or get kicked off the team or didn't have to quit playing to support a family. Or what, you know, there's a million different reasons why.
And it's a lot of luck, too. It depends on who sees you, who likes you.
And now you have to be well-spoken. You have to be well-acted. You know, back in the day when I grew up watching football, these guys were they were animals. You know, you didn't interview them because they might bite your hand off. But, you know, now it's a totally different league. And, you know, it's like with the NBA. I used to play a lot of street basketball with guys. And there were guys that were just awesome, totally awesome. I mean, they could do some of the most amazing dunks and tricks with the basketball and all that. And I'd always be like, man, why aren't you playing in the NBA? They just can't. They couldn't go to college. They couldn't stop working. You know, they had the family to support and all this stuff. And I would dare say that a lot of them were better than NBA players. And you know there's guys out there that are better than the guys playing football. These guys have just made it through a gauntlet. It's a huge gauntlet. You know, you have to be able to work the media, understand the media. You have to be able to, you know, understand the whole money situation, going through college, what you can do, what you can't take for resources and all that good stuff, who you can talk to. I mean, just being around certain people now can get you kicked out of the NFL. An accusation can get you kicked out of college. You never make it to the NFL. I mean, think of all the good players that have never made it to the NFL because of some stupid crap they did in college or some crap that somebody blamed them for, even in high school. So these aren't the best NFL players. I'm going to say that. They're just the ones that have made it through the gauntlet. And when they get here, they're very cognizant of the fact that they can't screw up, especially in front of the media. So what they do is they listen to what the media asks them, and then they give answers to placate the media because they don't want to piss the media off. If you piss the media off, they will attack you and do everything they can to get you run out of town.
Just ask Greg Schiano.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, he had his faults, no doubt about it. But, I mean, the media went crazy after him, and it was because, from my humble opinion, it wasn't because of his coaching on the field, the teams he put out there, because he put out some pretty good teams. I mean, he had some faults. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he traded some good players, got rid of great players, and that really made me upset. But, you know, we had a mean, monstrous team. But the media hated him because he would not give them access, not only to him, but to the players. He restricted all media access, and they hated that. And they went after him. And they admitted to it years later. You know, the reason why they didn't like him was because he restricted their access.
It was like what a Scott Reynolds Fab Five. It was kind of buried in one of those.
Yeah. And he just talked about how great Schiano was then.
Yeah.
You know, and how Schiano had explained to them. This pissed me off. During the season, Schiano had explained to them what was going on with Josh Freeman. And the Pew Report guys were like blown away because they didn't know this information.
Which is insane because we were on a lot of Bucks forums and it was common knowledge at the time that Freeman was into the strip clubs and the drugs and all that stuff. It was common knowledge.
Right.
So how the media was blown away by this revelation is astounding.
What Pew Report was blown away by, which that's another thing that kind of POs me, is that they didn't do any investigative research on Freeman.
Yeah.
It was left up to the fans to find out all that crap.
Right.
But anyhow, what the Pewter Report team said about Schiano was how much he tried to help Freeman. I mean, apparently he laid out in front of them all the stuff he tried to do. And this was during the season when Freeman was throwing his hissy fit.
Right.
But Pewter Report never mentioned any of that stuff in their articles. They just kept going after Schiano until he got run out of town. Mm-hmm. And then after he got run out of town, and then after the whole Lovie fiasco, if you wanted to go after a coach for being crap, it was Lovie.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy just blew this team apart, and they all just sat back and watched it happen.
Well, they're the ones that advocated for the hiring.
This is true.
To begin with.
Yes. And we know that the owners listen to the media. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely listen to the media, and the media knows that, and they've got this power. So, anyhow, I think that's what happened with Jameis, is that Jenna Lane hit him with that, and she hit it with him a couple times.
Yeah.
She kept asking him, are you going to get back to playing Jameis Winston football?
Right. Were you trying to chase the Fitzmagic instead of being yourself?
Yeah, that was this really weird question, and she did it
twice.
Well,
she does that sometimes. And it's not just her, but she'll go into press conferences, and she's already got the article written in her head, and she'll ask questions to get the quotes that she needs to write this article.
It seems that way. Yeah. I'm going to miss Cutter getting snarky with her, man. But yeah, and then the next day, she asked Cutter basically the same question, and Dirk laid into her. You know, he was like, hey, you led him on with that question.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we see the results of this.
Yeah.
Now, Jameis is saying,
3 months later.
Yeah, I got to get back to Jameis Winston football.
Right.
And
it might not, I mean, it's probably, Jenna probably doesn't have malicious intent. She probably didn't even know that she was doing it. And Jameis probably doesn't even know where he got it from. It's probably just been festering in his brain for 2 months.
Right.
And then, you know, he's trying to put the pieces together of why 2018 was not a great year for him. And that's in the back of his mind. So he's kind of rationalizing his play of the year with that. Right in his subconscious.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, one of the best games that Jameis Winston played last year was against the Carolina Panthers. I think it was the second time we played them.
Well, this interview took place after the 49ers win, and that was the week before the Carolina game.
Okay. Well, he played not Winston football. He did dink and dunks. He was very quick with his release. It was the most non-Jameis Winston football game I've ever seen. And he played very well.
Right.
Very well quarterback game. I think he should go back to that. I think he should learn to do that more often. You can't play the same all the time. Teams will figure you out.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So are we done talking about Jameis?
Yes.
All right. For my next point. So this whole Jenna Lane thing really got me going. And I've talked on here about DeSean Jackson before. And I know it's not, you know, most of the fan base doesn't want him back. And that's fine. I think there are things to be upset with DeSean Jackson and not like him for. I think there's enough there that you can justify saying, I don't want him here.
Yes, I don't like the amount of effort he put into not catching the ball.
But I think that he has gotten a lot of flack that is unnecessary. And in particular, at the beginning of the season, when everyone, after the Eagles game, or before the Eagles game, and Jameis is suspended, Fitz is in, and everybody's saying, D-Jax was lobbying
For Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I want you to listen to the interview where he was supposedly lobbying for Fitzpatrick. This is on the NFL Network, and it's the preview. It's with Willie McGinnis and, I don't know who the other person is. The other guy is dressed up as Fitzpatrick.
This was during the big Fitzmagic craze.
Yeah, after Fitzmagic came out in DeSean's outfit.
Willie, we got to give him a little more diamonds, though, man.
Yeah, we got to.
Cool. We got some diamonds.
A little more ice.
I'll see you in your locker next week, then. I'll come shopping. Hey, seriously, though, you talk about next week. Next week is the last game that we know that Jameis Winston is not in the equation. The week after that, he's back with the team. And people are already saying, this is Fitzpatrick's team. He is rolling, and you can't make a switch. What's your take?
And honestly, man, he's playing on fire right now. And, you know, the way the team is rallying behind him and just playing, you know, lights out football, you have to kind of honor it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't take the hot man out. He got the hot fire right now. It's like NBA Jam. We used to play NBA Jam. We was younger. Whoever got that hot fire shot, you got to keep shooting, man. So, you know, it's not my decision, but I'm sure Dirk and Coach Monken, them guys that makes them call, I'm sure they'll, you know, let them stay on fire till, you know, that fire's out. But I think we're going to stay on fire, man. That's our job, to go out there and stay on fire, and that's what we're going to do.
D-Jack, it's not up to me, but I would say ride him like an old mule. Keep going until it fizzles out. Like you said, ride the fire.
So you have Scott Hansen, I think that's interviewing him. You have Scott Hansen opening it up with a leading question, saying, you keep Fitz in, right? And then D-Jax agrees with him, saying, you keep the hot hand in. And then Willie McGinnis, at the end, agrees with both of them. So a lot of people have given D-Jax flack for that.
Yeah, yeah. They were saying, There's a rift between Jameis Winston and D-Jack, and D-Jack doesn't like Winston and doesn't want him back.
Right. They made the narrative. Right. They made the leap from you keep the hot hand in to there's conflict in the locker, and there's a not just a quarterback controversy, but you have people picking sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the Tampa media around that time, the articles that have come out from all the big players. We got Peter Report, we got Bucks Nation, Scott Reynolds, Rich Eisen, Stephen A. Smith, and they all say the same exact thing.
Yeah, they say
the same exact thing. Scott Reynolds in particular, here's a quote. This is from his two-point conversion. This is Fitzpatrick's Bucks for now, published on September 16th. He writes, "The question isn't whether or not Jameis Winston will start in week 4 at Chicago when he returns from his 3-game suspension. We know the answer to that. The question is whether or not Winston will start at all this year is if Fitzpatrick's magical season continues. The answer is that Winston shouldn't start until Fitzpatrick loses his magic touch and cools off." And then he goes on to say, Fitzpatrick is now 4-1 as a starting quarterback dating back to last year. And this is his team right now. He's the captain of the Bucks ship right now.
And that's Peter Report.
Peter Report. So then Trevor Sikkema, whatever his name is, from Peter Report. The Bucks have the number one offense in the NFL. How can you honestly say you'd pull the quarterback leading that charge because the guy behind him is better? You don't know that that will be the case right away for this exact situation. Nothing is a guarantee in this league. Even if Winston is more talented, you have to go with success that's in front of you.
Okay.
Okay. More Scott Reynolds. This is the PR Roundtable, September 26th. There's no reason for Cutter to go away from Fitzpatrick's hot hand right now for a quarterback that hasn't thrown a pass in an NFL game for 5 weeks dating back to the third preseason game.
Hmm.
I mean, for Stephen A. Smith to say that.
That was Stephen A. Smith.
Or no, that was Scott Reynolds. And then there, Stephen A. Smith, he gave, he's on ESPN, which he's kind of a blowhard anyway, but he said the same thing. So we have a lot of different people in the media saying, you go with the hot hand, you keep the hot hand. So why are we giving D-Jax flack for saying the same thing?
Right.
To give the media maybe some slack is that I did listen to other players on the Bucks roster being asked the same question and no one would answer.
Right.
They were all very political.
That's exactly. That's what you learn being an NFL player and being dealing with the media is that you can't say anything.
Right.
You have to say as little as possible. And that's why you get all these canned answers and political response and all that crap. And that's why I hate watching interviews now, because players are scared to say anything. Because once they say anything or even insinuate something, it gets blown out of proportion.
Right. And this is exactly what's happened to D-Jax. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I listened to a Joe Bucks fan podcast. It was Morning Joe, not the Ira Kaufman podcast. And he was talking about, I listened to it because he's talking about Noah Spence. And
what happened to Noah Spence?
Exactly. We still don't know. But Steve Isbitz said he gets a lot of flack for pulling like one quote and making an article out of it because people say he's just blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's so little information out there that we can get that we have to do this.
Right. Yeah, he was referring to the Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter both made statements about last year, and Dirk Cutter was talking about Matt Ryan, and he said Matt Ryan is the kind of quarterback you like because he can come to you and tell you if he doesn't like a play or something like that. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
And so then they make this whole big thing about how Joe Bucks fan made this whole big thing about how it shows that Cutter and Winston didn't get along because
they had communication problems.
They had communication problems. Yeah.
So you're kind of making a leap here.
Yeah.
But if there's so little information out there, they're the media. They're the ones that are supposed to be digging it. I mean, that's their job.
They're supposed to be the information.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the information.
Right. That's what I hate. They just go on quotes sometimes. Sometimes they just make stuff up.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Which we'll get to in a minute.
So are we done with D-Jax? I'm sure our audience is tired of me talking about D-Jax.
Well, like we've covered before in this podcast, you know, we met DeSean Jackson, and he wasn't super friendly.
No.
Not gregarious, but he wasn't rude. And anything
of that nature.
Yeah, he was standoffish, but he had his family there, and he was with his family, And you could tell he really enjoyed spending time with his kids and all that good stuff. And then he came over and he started talking to everybody and doing signing autographs and all that good stuff. And he just kind of went through the motions. And if you look at all the interviews that Pewter Report and Joe Buck's Fan and Buck's Nation and all these that they get, they don't get DeSean Jackson. He doesn't want to have crap to do with them. Mm. And I think he's standoffish with them. And that causes the media to start writing bad things about you. Mm-hmm. If you want the media to write good things about you, you have to give the media access and you have to talk to them. Which brings us to our next issue, Gerald McCoy.
I wrote an article published this morning about this Rick Stroud report, which I use that term loosely, that Gerald McCoy is coming back next season.
Right. And this wasn't just a blurb. This has been picked up by Pro Football Focus or Pro Football Talk. Mm-hmm. I think ESPN's picked it up. We tried to check the NFL.com site. We couldn't load it. It was acting funny. But anyhow, it's everybody's taking this
as gospel. Joe Buck fan, Pewter Report, Bucks all Nation. Things Bucks. They've all picked it up.
Right. They're all saying it's confirmed that McCoy's here. Yeah, McCoy's staying.
But if you read the article.
The one by Rick Stroud.
By Rick Stroud in the Tampa Bay Times, I encourage you to do it. Or read it for yourself, not the reports on the article. He has no quotes from anybody except two tweets from Gerald McCoy.
Which do not say anything about him staying here.
Yeah, don't say anything about him staying here. They're ones where he was like those cryptic tweets that he made after the season where it sounded like he was going to go. And there's no attribution. I mean, we don't know where Rick Stroud got this information.
Not at all.
He doesn't say, you know, we don't know if it's Bruce Arians, someone inside the organization, Todd Bowles. We have Gerald McCoy. I don't know. Even if you have anonymous sources, you still say sources inside the organization or an anonymous source in the front office said, you know, you still give credit to this information. You can't just come out and say, oh, Bucks head coach Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles have evaluated Gerald McCoy and decided that he will be a good fit for a 3-4 defense.
Right, which is basically what he said. He didn't say that Bruce Arians or Todd Bowles said they were going to keep Gerald McCoy. All he said was they have evaluated the film and they said he would be a good fit for the 3-4 defense. Now, he didn't even quote them on that.
No, it's not a quote. It's a paraphrase thing. There's no attribution. You don't know who said that. You don't know where he's getting that information.
Right. Which brings me to Gerald McCoy, and he's the exact opposite.
Can I just say one thing really quick? Mm-hmm. The rest of the article was Rick Stroud making arguments for why we should keep McCoy.
Right.
Including his sack numbers, that his salary isn't really that unreasonable, mm-hmm. that there's going to be a glut of defensive tackles in free agency, so he's got no trade value, mm-hmm. and players that we can cut instead of him.
Right. And so I'm going to tackle that real quick here. I went and I gathered all the stats on 63 defensive tackles in the league.
Wow.
Yes. Now,
these all the defensive tackles in the league?
No. Okay. No. These are 4-3 defensive tackles.
Okay.
There's 20 teams last year that played 4-3 defense like
we
do. Yeah, I know, surprisingly. Okay. It used to be about even, and there was a point where 3-4 was more dominant than 4-3, but now it's switched. So there was 20 teams that played a 4-3 defense and 12 teams that played a 3-4 defense. So I basically just looked at the 4-3 defenses. And I went through all the defensive tackles, first string, second string, third string, whatever.
Okay.
I got them all together, got their sack numbers. I got their how many defensive snaps they played, their snap percentages, their salary.
Ralph didn't sleep last night. That's what he's telling you.
This is true. Gerald McCoy is 11th in defensive snap percentage.
So he plays the 11th most defensive snaps of all
by percentage. Tackles. That's right. He's 13th in defensive snap totals, which means, weirdly, our defense didn't play as many plays as some teams.
Interesting. Okay.
He's 12th in sack total.
Okay. Of defensive tackles.
Of defensive tackles.
Who aren't supposed to get sacks.
Right. Who aren't supposed to get sacks. He's 12th.
Okay.
But here's the thing. He's 24th in sacks per play, which means if you go out on the field, you play two times and you sack the quarterback once, you only play two plays, you sack the quarterback once, you have a 50% sack rate.
Okay.
And that means you get a sack once out of every two defensive plays.
Okay.
Here's where Gerald McCoy stands on that. Like I said, he is 23rd He gets one sack out of every 122 defensive snaps.
Ooh, okay.
And this has been normal. This is normal. This is every year it's been like this. I've done these stats every year. Normally what I do, and I find it strange that nobody else does this, is I gather up all the plays that a player makes. You know, if it's a batted pass, a tipped ball, a sack, a pressure, you know, anytime a strip, a fumble, a fumble recovery, whatever. And I put them in a thing, how many special plays they made during the year. And then I compare that to how many plays they played during the year. And I try to come up with who makes the most impact on the field when they're out there.
Okay.
Danny Lanzana was probably one of the best. It just blew me away that we got rid of him.
He was a linebacker, right?
Yes, he was a linebacker. But man, when he was on the field, he was always making plays. But it was who was it, Landry?
Yeah.
He was a defensive lineman. We got him from Jacksonville, I think.
Philadelphia?
It might have been Philadelphia. I can't remember. He only played for a little while. He was with, I think it was Dernie Shiano.
Yeah.
Tenure and everything. That guy was incredible. I mean, every time he was out there almost, he was making a play. He just wasn't out there a whole lot.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't understand why this isn't a thing with stat keepers. But anyhow, just as an example, Aaron Donald is the best. You know, he had 20 and a half sacks last year. He gets a sack every 44.73 defensive snaps.
Okay. So, like three times better than McCoy.
Right.
So basically, he's getting three sacks for McCoy's every one sack.
Somewhere about there. About that area. Yes. And that's, if you look, Jerry McCoy's sack rate is 0.82%. It's not even 1%.
Okay.
Of the plays. You know, every play he goes out there, he's got a 0.82% chance of getting a sack.
Wow.
Aaron Donald has a 2.24% chance. That's the best in the league.
Wow.
But it goes down, you know, Chandler Jones with Kansas City is 2.01%. Irving with Dallas is 1.79. Holmes with Minnesota is 1.72. Autry with Indianapolis,
so 1.62. So he's not even over 1%?
Not even over 1%. I mean, the top 15 or top 13 are all over 1%. And it gets even worse. When you look at salary, Gerald McCoy is fifth in salary.
Ooh, wow.
And he's,
but he's 24th in sacks per play.
Right. And he's seventh in cost per sack, which means how much does it cost per sack? And I, you know, everybody's going to say, you know, defensive tackles is not about sacks, but that's what we're talking about here. And that's what they were talking about. Was it Tom Bessinger?
Rick Stroud wrote it in his article.
Tom Bessinger, yeah. Rick Stroud wrote it in his article about how important Gerald McCoy is because of his sack numbers. You know, he's gotten
54 and a half over his career.
Right.
And which has been 9 years.
Right.
That's not that impressive.
He averages about six a year, you know.
Right, but to hold up this number, this 54
right,
sacks,
as it's,
as this astronomical number.
It sounds
number,
big when you go, yeah, wow, 54 sacks.
But he's been in the league for 9 years.
Right.
Like, you would hope he'd have that much at least. You're paying him $14 million a year.
Right. And Thomas Bassinger, who does the sports data for Tampa Bay Times, he tweeted to Rick Stroud, after Rick Stroud tweeted about his article saying Gerald McCoy will return, he said, Tom Bassinger said, I think many people underrate how much of an accomplishment it is for an interior defender to record six sacks in a season, especially in this era. Gerald McCoy has done it six straight seasons. Only six interior defenders have double-digit sacks last season.
Well, those are two different things.
Exactly. That's what really threw my radar up. I was like, wait a minute. He just moved the goalpost between one sentence to the next.
Yeah.
You know, Gerald McCoy has got six sacks, but only six interior defenders had double-digit sacks last season.
Right.
Now, just in 4-3 defenders, 4-3 defensive tackles, Gerald McCoy is 12th in sack totals.
For the year.
For the year.
Okay.
He's 12th.
So 11.
That means 11 other guys, defensive tackles, that run a 4-3 defense, have gotten more sacks than Gerald McCoy. But yet he's fifth in salary, which that kind of surprised me. I thought he'd be higher up there than that. He normally is. But this year he's got some competition with a couple players. I found it funny. The number one defensive tackle paid last year was Quan Short at $17 million, and he absolutely sucked. He had a 0.51% sack rate.
Ooh.
He only had three sacks on the year.
Wow.
He had one sack every 194 defensive snaps.
He's with Carolina.
That's right. And he was first.
Good Lord, look at that. His cost per sack is like
$5.6 million per sack.
Those are some pricey sacks.
Right. Geno Atkins is second with $15 million, but he had 10 sacks, so he's $1.5 million per sack. Then Casey with Tennessee. His salary is $14.8 million, so he's $2.1 million per sack. Ndamukong Suh, $14.5 million. He was $3.2 million per sack. And then there's Gerald McCoy. We paid him $2.125 million per sack last year. You know, that's if we're going just on sack totals. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Gerald McCoy. He's got a unique skill set for a defensive tackle. I think he'll do much better in a 3-4 defense. I think he needs to be out on the edge further.
And he had one of his best seasons last season.
I think he did. Playing, he played harder than I think I've ever seen him play.
Right.
Every year he's gotten better as far as effort goes.
And I do like the chemistry that he's got with JPP, and mm-hmm. he really seems to have a camaraderie with the defensive line. Finally, 9 years into his NFL career.
Right. So, you know, you have to ask, what is the media's agenda here? I mean, why would they say things like that? I mean, Gerald McCoy is not a sack leader. He's not even in the top, what, 12?
And,
you know, I'm talking about just defensive tackles.
Right.
And this has been going on every year. You know, it's not like he has dominated the defensive tackle spot at any year in his career. But yet we're paying him like he is. Now, here's the thing. SportTrack.com has the average defensive tackle salary at $2.7
million. Whoa.
Right. And I'm going to show you how disastrous it can be to have expensive defensive tackles. Of the top 11 teams that spent on defensive tackles last year, that spent the most.
Okay, top 11 teams.
The top 11 teams. I'm splitting this up in the top 11, bottom 11, and the middle 10.
Okay.
We got 32 teams. I can't split it three ways.
Okay.
The top 11 teams had spent on defensive tackles. Only three of them went to the playoffs. That was the Rams, Ravens, and Eagles.
Well, and they've got Rams have Aaron Donald.
Who's
the Ravens?
Donovan Sue. The Ravens would be, you got me. See, I always get you with this, you know, just asking questions.
And then the Eagles, that's Fletcher Cox, right?
It is Fletcher Cox. You are correct. Okay. Oh, I don't have them because they run a 3-4 defense.
Okay.
Yes. So I don't have their information.
Gotcha.
So the top 11 teams, only three of them went to the playoffs that spent money on the defensive tackles. The biggest spenders in defensive tackles, the top 11 of them, only three of them went to the playoffs. The middle teams who spent about average, three of them went to the playoffs. However, the bottom 11 teams that were the cheapest paying defensive tackles, six went to the playoffs, including the Patriots, who were 27th in spending.
Wow.
It does not pay to spend big money on defensive tackles.
And I mean, we've seen that. We've been paying him for years. And
yeah, we paid him close to $150 million.
Something like that. How many times has he been in the playoffs?
Right. And how many times has he been a game changer? I mean, I can think of two, maybe three times, you know, where he's actually helped us win a game.
Right.
You know, at the last minute or whatever, you know, got a sack when we needed it or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Gerald McCoy is a bad player. You know, he's got a unique skill set, but he's also got unique faults, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's got that. Everyone talks about his get off.
Uh-huh.
But that's good for at least five penalties. You know,
there was 1 year, a couple years back, we were playing Atlanta and he had three false start penalties and it got them from the 50-yard line to the 3-yard line.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, it was very strange. But the one thing that was strange about that was the referees never called his number. They said, defensive tackle, false start, defensive tackle. And then one time they called the wrong number, but it was Gerald McCoy.
Crazy.
So it was very strange. But my point is, why is the media, especially, it's all of them, Pewter Report, all of them at
yes.
Pewter Report, Joe Buck's fans, except for Justin Pawlinski. He's the only one that comes down hard on Gerald McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Buck's Nation, Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud, Greg Allman. But Greg Allman, to me, he's my favorite because he seems very unbiased about everything he does.
He's not a fan either.
Right. Yeah. He's just doing a job.
Right.
And so all of these guys, they really push for Gerald McCoy hard. And they have been for years.
For years.
Ever since he's been here.
I tweeted this earlier that since this article with Rick Stroud came out, they've all jumped on board. So Pewter Report mm-hmm. wrote an article about Rick Stroud's article. Bucks Nation came out today and said, if Bruce Arians turns around the team like we think he's going to, then Gerald McCoy deserves to be a part of it. You know, Tom Bassinger tweeting that stuff. I mean, it's been all of them are just jumping on the bandwagon on mm-hmm. this report. And if you read it critically, it reads like an opinion piece.
That's what I thought it was when
I
first read it.
Rick is putting forth an argument. Here's why we should keep McCoy.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a little blurb in there that says, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles.
Yeah, that's one sentence in the whole article. That's
and it's not even a quote. Yeah.
It's not a quote. It's not attributed. I have a journalism background, so they beat that into you immediately. You always cite your sources. You always cite your sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a journalist.
Even in a headline. I mean, he's a journalist. So either it's sloppy journalism or
it's
an opinion piece that was mislabeled.
Well, I don't see him. I don't see him coming out and saying,
"No,
you know, everybody needs to calm down." I was just giving my opinion. No, right. He's let them
because everyone's picked it up. He's getting all this traffic.
Right. So why is that? Why is it? I'll give you my opinion. It's the same reason why they attacked Greg Schiano. Same reason why they're attacking DeSean Jackson, because they don't give him access. Gerald McCoy gives them all the access in the world. He has ever since he's been here. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few articles where they will say there isn't a microphone that Gerald McCoy doesn't like. I mean, this is a guy that's been on the Colbert Report. He's been on all the NFL talk shows. He's been everywhere. He's out there. He knows how to promote himself. He had the biggest marketing team on the planet behind him, Creative Marketing Agency, or CAA. I can't remember what. Tom Corda. And these are the same guys that do marketing for Tom Hanks and all the big superstars. Gerald McCoy had them. They were his management team. And they got him in. Stephen Colbert is part of that group. His management is the same as Gerald McCoy's was. So Gerald McCoy knows how to play the media. And the media loves Gerald McCoy because of it. He has their personal cell phone numbers. He calls them.
Right. And I think it was Scott Reynolds at Pewter Report actually wrote a critical article of Gerald McCoy a few years ago. Yeah. McCoy called him on his personal cell phone and Scott Reynolds retracted the article.
And apologized. Yes. And so these guys don't want to give up this golden goose. You know,
and it's prime time to lobby for Gerald McCoy because, you know, all these deadlines are coming up. Free agency's getting ready to start. Right. The trading's getting ready to start. And I think that he's lobbying to keep his job.
Yes. And who knows if there's money being passed around, whatever. I don't know. There's definitely a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
You know, they write good articles about him. He gives them access.
Yeah.
You know, that's a minimum. You never know what else is going on behind the scenes. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody and talk crap about guys because I don't have any evidence to back it up. But it's just strange to me at how these guys, all the media guys, just slobber over Gerald McCoy. And they have ever since he's been here. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I mean, even the stats themselves show that it's just he's not worth the money. He's not worth that much money.
Right.
I mean, what is it, $13 million? Come on. For 6 sacks?
Right. And they're really, with these pieces coming out from the media, it's putting a lot of pressure on the front office.
Right. Yeah. The owners listen to this. The GM listened to the media.
Right.
And you know the coach Arians is probably going, oh, crap.
I got to keep him.
Yeah. Now I get rid of McCoy, it looks like I lied.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of, and the media knows this. I think they know they just put Bruce Arians between a rock and a hard place where he's got to make a decision now with, you know,
I mean, he could very possibly lose part of the fan base by...
Yes, because now they're all worked. Everybody thinks we're keeping Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, they feel safe.
When there's no evidence whatsoever other than an opinion piece.
Bruce Arians has come out for a lot of other players. You know, he said Peyton Barber. He likes Peyton Barber. Mm-hmm. Levante David.
He even talked about DeSean Jackson, how he was going to try to lobby to get him to come back to the team, which Winston. Is funny because we have his contract and he can't go anywhere unless we let him.
Right. Well, and initially when he's hired, he's asked, what about Gerald McCoy? And he says, well, we have to evaluate everybody.
Yes, Gerald McCoy was the only player where Arians said, we have to evaluate everybody.
So that was the last we heard from Bruce Arians on Gerald McCoy. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard anything from his mouth since.
Right.
So to me, there's no, I want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Right. But now, is he being pressured into it?
Right.
That's the big question. Is he going to be pressured? Is that going to hurt our football team? Because honestly, if Gerald McCoy does not take at least a half pay cut, get him down to $6-7 million. I would be fine with that. If he doesn't,
absolutely,
it's going to hurt our team because we're not going to be able to get the Honey Badger, John Brown, Opatu, Clays Campbell,
Quan Alexander, we can't sign Humphreys, which everyone's okay with letting Humphreys walk. I'm like, are you insane?
That's insanity. I would much rather keep Humphreys than McCoy.
Exactly. You got to look at the value added to the team by these two players. Who has more value? Unequivocally, it's Adam Humphreys.
Yes. Has Gerald McCoy ever scored a touchdown? No.
No.
Has he ever stopped one? I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, Tom Brady, several years ago, took a pay cut to help the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not even in the, top 5 paid quarterbacks?
No. Tom Brady. Yeah, Tom Brady. No, we pay Gerald McCoy more than Tom Brady gets paid.
It's insanity. So, I mean, if he really wanted to make this team better, he wanted to stay on the team, and he wanted the team to be a winning team, he would restructure his deal.
Yes. That's going to be a big tell to me.
It would be, he has to make that sacrifice to stay here.
Yes. And the media needs to stop pushing this crap.
It's not going to make the team better.
No. No, you know, everybody talked about Gerald McCoy. Oh, well, you know, he's never had a defensive line. He's never had talent around him. That's what you've heard for 8 years. This year, he had talent around him.
Everyone on the line was more talented than he was.
Nassib was great. JPP was great. Vita Vea came on strong at the end. McCoy played McCoy, but did the exact same he's always done.
Right.
He didn't elevate. And so, I don't know. There's going to be a time when we run out of excuses. And, you know, it seems like the media is just trying to shove this down everybody's throat. And everybody loves McCoy. I mean, he's a great guy. He talks good. You know, he's friendly. He's jovial. You know, he likes to have fun. And, you know, the media loves him. It's funny. It used to always crack me up every year how, you know, Gerald McCoy would make the top 100 plays or go to the Pro Bowl. That's a big thing. They always talk about, oh, you know, he's a six-time Pro Bowl or whatever. And people would point to that as how good Gerald McCoy is. But then they would point to Lavonte David get screwed out of the Pro Bowl every year. You know, especially the first couple of years. I mean, he was playing lights out. He should have been to the Pro Bowl. And everybody go, ah, the Pro Bowl is just a popularity contest. And I'm like, these are the same guys that are saying, yes, this is showing how good McCoy is because he's gone to the Pro Bowl. But then they turn right around and they go, ah, the Pro Bowl is a popularity contest because Lavonte David didn't get a chance to go. Like, which one is it, dude? Is it that skill or is it popularity? It's popularity. Yes, definitely.
So there's our rant for the day.
I did want to correct myself. I said that it was Dave Moore who was the tight end that did the...
I was talking about Donovan Smith, how he looks like sometimes he wants to be on the sideline.
Yeah, no, that's Anthony Beck that does the film breakdown for Buccaneers.com.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not Dave Moore.
Okay. So. I like that you're fact-checking.
Yeah, you know, I do it all the time, and then I just forget to say anything.
Okay.
Especially with your messed up facts.
Do I have a lot?
No.
You can correct me.
I know. Okay. I enjoy that. That's my favorite part of this.
Are you just saying that I'm right all the time?
No, not at all. Andre Ellington was signed.
Yeah.
How about that?
Interesting.
I don't know if he'll make the team. I mean, when anybody that's signed this early into the offseason, they're usually just there to fill a spot until they figure out what they're going to do. But, you know, he does have a lot of history with Bruce Arians, so we'll see. And we're probably not going to keep Rodgers, so he'll probably fill that role.
Okay. Which Rodgers probably go back to Atlanta.
Wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, me neither. You liked Andre Ellington way back when he was with the Cardinals.
Yes, yes. So I'm not too upset about it.
Right.
I do wish we'd keep Rodgers, but, you know.
They're very similar, right?
Ellington's bigger.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Rodgers is a tiny
He's a
guy.
Little dude.
Any other Bucks news for the week? I'm sure there is some. I just forgot it.
Anyhow, that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. We're right in the midst of moving, but we felt like we had to get this podcast out because we're just seeing so much junk come out of the media that...
It is just crazy. They're lobbying hard today.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes.
It's very strange.
And it, you know, it kind of bothers us, so we want to get this out there. I did notice that they've been bringing up some of the stuff that we've been bringing up. Can you remember what any of that was?
Oh, SAP attending training camp.
SAP attending training camp. Yeah, they were a couple weeks behind on my scoop for that one. I can't remember. There was some other stuff too, but it always makes me happy when we report stuff and then, or we come up with stuff and then you see the media bring it up weeks later and like it's their idea. We know you're listening. Yeah. So anyhow, let's see what's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting with the McCoy situation. If he doesn't take a pay cut, I just don't see him staying on the team. And to be honest with you, I don't want him on a team at $13 million. It's just, it's too much for too little. There's much more we could do with that. $6-7 million, definitely a lot more we could do with that $13 million. We could get Antonio Brown for $13 million.
Right.
Or maybe even, what's the other?
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
I don't want him.
I don't want either one of them, to be honest with you, but it'd be fun to have just for the, you know, just for the entertainment value, if nothing else. Who is the number one person you want in free agency?
Adam Humphries.
Okay, that's not on our team right now. That's true. I really want to keep Adam Humphries.
Yeah.
But who do you want to get across the whole league that's up for free agency?
I'd like to have the Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
The Honey Badger is.
I just think that bond that he has with Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians.
Damn it. I was hoping you wouldn't catch that. I just think that bond that they have, you can't replicate. You can't. It just brings something else to the team that you can't. You can't replicate.
Yes. And with a name like Honey Badger, he's got to live up to that. He's always been kind of tough. But, you know, he's a little injury prone, I think. But what players aren't? You know, that's one thing you can say about Donovan Smith. He never gets hurt. You know, that's a big plus. Everybody else gets hurt. You know, players just get hurt so much anymore.
Well, if we take the plays that he takes off and add them up, it'd probably be a full one or two games.
Yeah, that was cruel.
Am I wrong, though?
No, you are not wrong. Okay. Yeah, so Honey Badger, I hope to see him come here. Which, you know, kind of sucks because it looks like we're going to get rid of Chris Conte. Did you see he was number one on the NFL? They did a thing of NFL 100 moves, top moves. And it was the number one was when Chris Conte got stiff-armed and thrown to the ground.
Yes. That's how he's going to end his career.
I know. That sucks.
Ugh.
Nice guy. That brings him up another point. You know, we met DeSean Jackson, Chris Conte, Ali Marpet, JPP, Mike Evans.
God, there were so many of them.
Yeah. But Gerald McCoy didn't come out.
He was in the VIP section for a minute.
He went to the VIP section for a little bit and then left. And that kind of struck me as weird. You know, because you always talk about how, you know, McCoy is a fan favorite and all that stuff. Seems like he'd want to be with the fans as much as he can. But I just don't see a lot of fan interaction with him online or all that. You know, to me, it seems like he's really into the marketing aspect of his game.
His brand.
His brand, yeah. You know. But DeSean Jackson, though, like I said, you know, he was out there, you know, hanging out and all that good stuff. He wasn't that friendly, but he wasn't rude. He just seemed like that's the kind of person he was. But you could tell he was real into his family.
Distracted, yeah.
Yes, and they were all there, so.
Yeah. And Mike Evans, when we met him.
Oh, he was great.
He started out in the VIP section where McCoy was. The difference is that Mike Evans stayed.
Yes, Mike Evans was the last one.
Every single person wanted to see him got through. And JPP did the same exact thing. And we were actually, the VIP section is down by the end zone. And we were kind of like at midfield. This is in the indoor practice facility. And so we saw the crowd by JPP and Mike. And we're like, we're at the back. There's no way we're going to get through. But hey, we'll just stand here and see if we can get up there. And they did. They stayed until every single person.
Yeah, it was so funny. All the employees were all milling about. You could see they were like, come on, let's wrap this up. Mike Evans always stays here the longest and everything. And he did. And JPP and Mike Evans were extremely gracious. I mean, they sat there and talked with us.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like they were in a rush.
And JPP even said, you know, it's about the fans. It's about you guys. And he's not even, I mean, at that point, he hadn't even played a game for the Bucks.
Right.
So.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Right.
Another McCoy thing.
Maybe we'll post pictures one day.
Maybe. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us. We are in the process of moving. Like you said, hopefully next week we'll have...
I got to get my Know Your Enemies.
Yes, I know. You got to do the Saints. They've been making some transactions here.
Have they? I haven't even paid attention. Need to. And Carolina. I think I said I was going to do Carolina first. Maybe I'll do the Saints
I saw
first.
An article, somebody talking about Kaepernick going to Carolina. I would love that. I think that would be fantastic. That would make my whole season. I wouldn't care if we won.
That's an interesting thing because if Cam Newton, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty with him and his shoulder, and they're very similar style quarterbacks. So that is kind of interesting.
I would love it. I think they should. 100%. I'm going to lobby for it. Carolina Panthers should hire Kaepernick. But Kaepernick doesn't want to be a backup. He wants starter money.
Right.
He's made that known.
Right.
So okay. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Until next time, guys.
Go Bucks.